Happy to be joined now by Jim Rosenhaus of WTAM. Jim, thanks a lot for this. This Indians team is so interesting, the way they overperformed above expectations last year under Terry Francona. It's a very interesting lineup as well when I look at the way it is constructed. Why the reason for the slow start this season, though?
Well, and certainly you can point to inconsistent starting pitching, as is usually the case. That seems to drive everything. And so far, the Indians have not been able to string together a good stretch of strong starts. So they're trying to get three of their starters are starting to come around. We saw Justin Masterson very strong last night. The guy throwing today, Corey Kluber, has been solid his last two starts, and Zach McAllister's come around. But you still have two fifths that's been a struggle early on, and as a result, it's put a little more pressure on the bullpen. And they have been inconsistent offensively as well.
A lot of people in this city are really interested in watching the career of Yan Gomes, a guy who got just a cup of coffee here in Toronto and performed well in spring training, and did everything you could have done to impress, but he was shipped off, and Esmail Rogers was part of that deal, ended up back with the Blue Jays, and there he is signing an extension with the Cleveland Indians. Nice start to his season this year as well, and a great defender. What has he meant to be the everyday catcher and make sure that Carlos Santana isn't back there anymore?
Well, it's amazing, and you mentioned that trade, and of all the changes that the Indians made a year ago, they signed free agents like Nick Swisher and Michael Bourne. That trade was just tremendous. The fact that they got what turned out to be their frontline catcher and then a very valuable utility man in Mike Aviles for a reliever, it's just amazing what they got in return. So Gomes, he has done a nice job behind the plate, and it's allowed the Indians to kind of tinker with Santana, move him to third base, an experiment that's worked out well so far. But they just love what he does back there. He handles pitching staffs very well. His throwing arm is second to none, and he's done a great job in terms of what he's been doing offensively. So the contract extension for him, I think, shows what the Indians believe in him, not only what he did last year, but what they can count on for the future. Because, I mean, here's a very young major league player that they feel can be their backstop for a long time.
Talking to Jim Rosenhaus of WTAM, Cleveland Indians radio broadcaster, Blue Jays and Indians getting set for game two of their three-game set this afternoon. Comes your way at the bottom of the clock here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And Jim, an interesting guy for me, and especially when he was called up, Lonnie Chisenhall. I think a lot of people had very high expectations for him. He was the DH in batting ninth yesterday, went 1-for-4, and he's off to a nice start to his season, although he did have three punchouts as well. Now, if Carlos Santana is going to be your everyday third baseman, where does Lonnie Chisenhall fit into this Indians lineup, and do they still have the lofty expectations on him that they had when he was originally called up?
I think so. I think the expectations are still there, but at this point in time, they're trying to figure out what the best lineup to put out there on a daily basis is for a team that is expecting to be in playoff contention again. And, for him, that means he's going to have to scramble to find at bat, third base designated hitter. Maybe they work him in at first base on occasion, but, you know, he'll have to scramble for his at bats at this point in time. And right now that is at the major league level. I think from a standpoint of do you send him down and play every day in the minor leagues? They just don't feel that would benefit him right now. So at least at this point in time, they see him as someone who can get the experience up here, continue to develop up here and see what happens. But they do still see him as a big part of this thing, just not on an everyday basis right now.
A guy that's getting some everyday at-bats is David Murphy, a guy that I've really thought deserved a chance to play a little bit more than he did in Texas with the Rangers. It seems like he just continues to hit, and he's doing it the same with the Indians as well. What have you seen out of Murphy? Is he starting against left-handers as well?
Yeah, so far he started quite a bit against the lefties, and he's done just fine. It has not been a strict platoon with him and Ryan Rayburn. They prefer to have Rayburn more as a fourth outfielder type and have him move around a little bit. So Murphy's been getting the everyday at-bats, and he's been tremendous. And you look back two seasons ago, and that's what the Indians are banking on him returning to. He had a solid season where he had close to 300 with Texas and well over 300 against left-handed pitching. So I'm sure against certain left-handers he's going to sit, but in a lot of cases, at least so far, he's been in there on pretty much an everyday basis, regardless of whether it's a lefty or a right.
Michael Brantley is a guy that's just completely worn out Blue Jays pitching over his career. Was 1-for-5 yesterday in this season. He's off to a nice little start. We're used to seeing him at the top of the lineup. Things change, obviously, with the addition of Michael Bourne, but he was hitting 5th yesterday. Is that a good spot for Michael Brantley? Do you expect him to be back in maybe the 2-hole at some point, or is 5th a good spot for Michael Brantley?
You know, it seems like a good spot right now because he's been tremendous with men in scoring position. So they look at that as a driving in runs type spot in the lineup, certainly. And with his success with men on base and men in scoring position, it's a good spot. But I think we saw last year he can hit anywhere. He hit everywhere except 9th. And a lot of times he was hitting cleanup. On occasion he led off, and as you mentioned, in that number 2 spot. So it kind of depends on how other players are doing and where they fit. As far as where he fits in, at least at this point. And Terry Francona loves that flexibility from him. It's made a big difference for the lineup.
Asdrubal Cabrera is an interesting guy for me. He's a former All-Star. He's a guy who's hit 25 homers in his career. Last year, I think you can pretty safely call it a disappointing year. 14 homers, but on-base percentage under 300 at .299. Again this year, the on-base, well, in a very small sample size of 16 games, the on-base at .292. Are the Indians concerned at all about his offensive production, or are they just happy to get whatever they can out of a pretty good shortstop?
You know, they'd like to see more. There's no question. And they've seen more in the past, but for whatever reason, last year was a struggle, and so far this season, it hasn't been much different. And they feel that there's more in there because they've seen it. You know, it's the last year of his contract, and their top prospect is a young shortstop by the name of Francisco Lindor, who's currently at Double A, and he's not ready yet. Will it line up where they can just let Cabrera walk at the end of the season as he becomes a free agent? I don't know. You're never quite sure because you haven't seen a young player prove it at the major league level, but I think they were really hoping that Cabrera in a contract year would put together a huge season. It hasn't started out that way. Obviously, it's very, very early, but they feel there's a lot in there, and if he can get back to some of the form that he showed a couple of seasons ago, they'd be ecstatic, but they just haven't seen that in a while now.
What about Nick Swisher? He's not an old man by any stretch of the imagination. He's just 33, but last year was a step back for him pretty significantly with an OPS of just .763 after four straight seasons with an OPS over 800. The home runs were still there. I mean, 22 is not the 35 that he put up back in 2006. But and then you look at the early production in this part of the season to this point, just hitting .185. He takes his walks, though, with an on-base of .284 and almost 100 points higher than his batting average. Is there a concern there that the decline might be happening for Nick Swisher?
No, not yet. You know, I think he's off to a slow start, but, you know, it's way, way too early to, I think, jump to any conclusions of a decline. I mean, the fact of the matter is, in September last year, when the Indians went on a great run to make the playoffs, he was their leading run producer, had a great September, and that's how he got to some of the numbers that he had at the end of the year, home run-wise and run-driven-in-wise. Because he had a huge final month. So, you know, he still maintains that last year he, you know, came in with as a leader of a team and maybe tried to do a little bit too much. Much more relaxed this season, and I think you're just seeing a very small sample size. Had a, you know, good night last night, a couple of sharp singles to the middle of the diamond, which I think is where they're trying to get him to focus a little bit more to get going, and we saw that last night. So, to make too much of a judgment at this point of this season, I think is not something the Indians are doing.
Jim, what should we expect out of today's starter, Corey Kluber? Don't know a whole lot about him, but what should Blue Jays fans be looking at when they see Kluber toe the slab today?
You know what? Definitely an under the radar type starting pitcher who has good stuff. I mean, he throws hard. He'll be pretty firm 92 to 94 with his hard stuff, with great movement. He works the corners, has some good breaking stuff, and he is someone that they fully expect to take that next step forward in his career this year after a solid season a year ago. He was an 11-game winner a year ago and provided some innings, and they look for that from him again. Last two starts have been very strong for him, so they're looking for him to continue that progression here today.
Hey, Jim, before we let you go, I want to get your take on Terry Francona and what he meant to this team last season, getting into the playoffs, and they had a very good team, though, as well. How much of an effect can a manager have on a team and its success as far as wins and losses are concerned?
Well, I think in this situation, the Indians were trying to turn things. They had dropped 90 games or more in three of the prior four seasons, so they needed something different. And I think he brought, in addition to some new players who certainly upped the talent level here, he brought a different feel in that clubhouse. You know, they talk about players, managers, and he clearly is. His communication is second to none in terms of how he deals with players, and I think the players here appreciated that and performed very well for him. So there definitely is a different mindset. He likes to keep things loose. That's a very big part of what he's about. And at the same time, though, the difficult decisions that has to be made, he's able to make those, and he does that from a framework of communication, because he gets to know his players so well. When he has to deliver sometimes news that they don't want to hear, he feels he can do it from a little bit better foundation.